All right. Good morning, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. And I don't know if I'm going to even air this, but you know, a man ought to have a right to speak his opinion without fear of repercussions from government agencies or the private sector or anybody else. He might fear repercussions from his spouse or his close relatives. That's fine. That's part of being in a family. But a man ought to have a political opinion that outrages the most powerful people in a country, in America. But that's harder and harder to do, and that makes it all the more important to do the necessary, which is to raise our voice and speak. We don't live in a free country. America is not a free country anymore. They are arresting everybody that could potentially form the basis of leadership for the current regime that runs the United States of America, a regime that stole the 2020 election. I know, saying this probably makes me a criminal. And I guess that's the point. That's the point. Having a political opinion in America in 2023 can make you a criminal and subject you to incarceration by the what should really be called civil servants. It's funny how the press starts to referring to them as the authorities. The authorities. They're not the authority. They're civil servants. But having a political opinion that the 2020 election was stolen and having a desire to have it investigated and properly adjudicated has landed these men in jail. Not just Trump, but a whole coterie of men that have helped him and women get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. We don't live in a free country. America's not a free country anymore. Now, that may outrage them even more. Oh, I'm anti-democratic. I'm against the rule of law. These people are the ultimate hypocrites. And, you know, so the question becomes, How do you resist this? They have all the power. They have the police. They have the courts. They have the press. They have the schools. They have the universities. And I guess that's part of my quest is to figure out how to resist that. Resistance, number one, comes out of your mouth. It has to come out of your mouth. And, of course, that's what outrages the Jews about bloodandfaith.com. I resist out of my mouth. I have ideas that come out of my mouth. My ideas are driven as much as I can help by the Holy Scriptures. Been very pointed recently in the last week or so about identifying a specific enemy. And I've said the enemy's not the Marxists, it's not the communists, it's not the Democrat Party, it's not the rhinos. If you go back and you look in the Holy Scriptures and figure out what the enemy is the Jews. It's always been the Jews. It's been the Jews for over 2,000 years. And that really gets their ire up. They don't have any ire because they're not of Irish descent. That's where ire comes from. But they get angry and they get vindictive and they claim to be a victim. It's the biggest hoax in the world. They claim to be, they run the world and they claim to be a victim. Oh, I can't say they run the world because that's So how do we resist? You got to open up your mouth and speak. You have to. With that, nothing else begins. And I know there's a lot of people that want to be the gray man out there, and I also recognize that some people are called to speak more than others, myself included. I don't know how it all happens. I don't know how it all comes together, but we're going to have to be willing to pay the ultimate price for our children and grandchildren. This isn't, you know, voting harder. They've stolen the elections, and they're not going to stop stealing the elections. I mean, look at what's going on right now. They're arresting a former president, not because he did something wrong. Has nothing to do with that. It's because they're terrified that he'll run again and win the election and then come back and really do what he said he would do, which is to drain the swamp of the swamp critters. They own the swamp. They want, it's their swamp. They don't care what the American people have to say about it. That's why you've got all these legal cases going on against Trump and the people around him and the people that have supported him. This is not a country run by the rule of law anymore. The justice system is politicized. It's owned and controlled by the political left. I'll call them the Antichrist forces, to be meek. And who are the number one Antichrist forces according to the Holy Scriptures? It's the people called the Jews. Now, that will make some people's heads explode. I don't care. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Go read your Bible. Who's the enemy in the Bible? It's the Jews. Always has been the Jews. And the church won't say it. I fault the church on this, man. It's our book. We got the book. We got the Holy Scriptures. I fault the pastors. I fault the church on it. Some of it is deception from Satan. I got that. But that's why we have a Bible. That's why we have a Bible. Okay, so we can have the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we can know what God's purpose is, what God's will is, what God's intentions are, what God's perspective is. It's from the Holy Bible. This book right here. That's why we got this. It's all in here. When I go after the Jews, it's not Fritz's ideas. It has nothing to do with some mid-20th century politician. Nothing to do with that at all. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It's the words of the Master. It's the words of the Holy Spirit that inspired Luke to write in the book of Acts and the Apostle John. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from any other political scientists out there. And the church is terrified of saying the things that Jesus Christ said. Terrified. Won't do it. This is a problem. The problem really, I mean, I can't blame the devil. I mean, that's fruitless. You can blame the devil. Oh, it's the devil made me do it. The devil's put us in this situation. I can even blame the children of the devil, which both Jesus Christ and John the Baptist identified, the seed of the serpent, the literal seed of the serpent. But I blame the church. I blame Christians. I blame pastors. Because they won't say what the Holy Scriptures say. They won't say what John the Baptist said and what Jesus Christ said regarding who the core enemy is. If we want some enemy out there, oh, it's the devil. I don't know. Does the church believe in the devil anymore? Doesn't seem to believe that the devil has children. Doesn't seem to believe what Jesus Christ said about the devil's children. And you can jump and howl and call me anti-Semitic all you want. And all you do is condemn yourself, because I'm telling you what the Holy Scriptures say. And if you're going to replace the Holy Scriptures with your normative term of anti-Semitic as being the be-all and end-all of your morality, you're a fool. You're an utter fool. You're a fool. If you're going to say, I need to do what the Jews say instead of what Jesus Christ said, man, you're a fool. And if you're going to adopt the morality of the Jews over the morality of Jesus Christ, you're a fool. You're deceived and you're a fool at the very best. At the very best, you're deceived and you're a fool. At worst, you've joined the fraternity of Judas Iscariot, who sided with the Jews. Judas Iscariot sided with the Jews. He knew the truth. He walked in the truth. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bible says, I think it's Psalm 55, he had intimate, he knew Jesus Christ. Personal or direct relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet he sides with the Jews. That's called treason. That's the biblical definition of treason. It's siding with the Jews. And that's literally what Judas Iscariot did. He goes to the Jews. How did they get him? I don't know. Part of it was the devil. Was the devil in you? Is the devil in you, Pastor? Is the devil in you, Christian? You siding with the Jews? You got all kinds of 50 kind of reasons why you're going to do it. Oh, the Jews are God's chosen people. No, they're the devil. The Jews are Satan's chosen people. Jesus said they're the children of the devil. He says they're the synagogue of Satan. But you're smarter than Jesus. Now, does this circle around to our problems in America? Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it does. And if the church can't get up off its behind and recognize who the real enemy is and stop being afraid of being compared to some 20th century politician that's got nothing to do with this. Jesus Christ spoke this 2,000 years ago, friends, brethren. I don't care what some 20th century politician said or didn't say. Couldn't care less. Couldn't care. It's Jesus Christ, the anti-Jew. Don't tell me he's a Jew. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. You've made it into a mantra. You've turned this into a mantra. No, Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. And you just, it's like it's a chant. It's a cultic chant. Yet Jesus looked at the Jews and he said, you are of your children. You are of your father, the devil. And you go around and you'll chant your cult-like tune, Jesus is a Jew, but you won't say that the Jews are the devil's children, which is what Jesus Christ said. You won't say they're the synagogue of Satan, which is what Jesus Christ said. You're literally ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. Ashamed of them. And will do everything you can to pander to the Jews so they don't hate you. So they don't call you naughty names. Jesus Christ was very clear. They call me Beelzebub. What do you think they're going to call you guys? If they call me Beelzebub, Jesus Christ said, he said, what do you think they're going to call you guys? And you run around scared because somebody might call you a racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. What's wrong with you? Have you not read the Bible? Have you never read the Holy Scriptures? Or do you just not believe? Do you just not believe? Don't tell me you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't want to hear it. So did Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ too. Said they had sweet fellowship as they walked together amongst the throng in the temple. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me you cast out devils and you pray for the sick and they get healed. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't care. Judas Iscariot did the same thing. And he sided with the Jews. That's what he did. He sided with the Jews. And even up to the end, he goes and he greets Jesus, "Hail, Rabbi! Hail, Rabbi!" And he kisses him. Pretending to be another great Christian out there with all his other brethren. "Hail, Rabbi!" Greets him with a kiss. Doesn't pull out a sword. Then he stands back and, oh, look at this. Oh, I guess the Jews are getting him now. What went through his mind? I'll have to think about that. I'll have to write about that. I'll have to talk about that. What went through his mind? Did he see the writing on the wall? Did he know that the Jews were after Jesus Christ? Did he get it in his mind that Jesus was doing something wrong? I will tell you flat out, if you really, truly read the Gospels of Jesus Christ, he said some outlandish things. "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." Hello? Did he just say, you know what, I can't take this anymore? I got to be reasonable. I got to make my way through life. This guy's a lunatic. Eat my flesh, drink my blood? No, man. No, that's it. I can't do that anymore. Many, many, many walked away when he said that. When Jesus Christ turned and looked at his disciples, hey, you want to walk away too? You want to walk away too? That's fine. Go ahead. Go for it. Knock yourselves out. We get this idea that Jesus panders to us, and we have preachers in the pulpit that create a picture of Jesus as the panderer in chief. He loves you. He forgives you. He heals you. He makes you rich. He makes the ugly beautiful. I mean, whatever it is, whatever he's the magic God of this, he'll give you eternal life. Just accept him. And Jesus Christ turns around, he looks at the double minority with the special needs child, and he says, I didn't come for you. I did not come for you. He said, you're a dog. And the woman replies, yeah, but even the dogs get scraps from the master's table. Jesus said, okay, here's a scrap, and he healed her kid. Never hear it like that, do you? We want to create a Jesus Christ that doesn't offend the Jews, that doesn't offend the seed of the serpent, that doesn't offend the carnal nature of man. And Jesus Christ, he says, listen, dude, he says, he was very clear. He says, I'm the stumbling block. I am the stumbling block. Jesus Christ is the stumbling block. He's the stumbling block. But the church has gone out to the world, gone to the Jews, and literally apologized to the world and to the Jews for who Jesus Christ is. Renounce Jesus Christ. Renounce the words of Jesus Christ. Created a new Jesus 2.0, 3.0, whatever. It's got nothing to do with the original. If the church doesn't have the courage to say who the real Jesus Christ is, right out of the words of the Bible, there is no hope for mankind and there is no hope for this country. None. And I realize that this my quest, my journey, what I do on bloodandfaith.com, my writings may seem to some purposely obnoxious, just to be obnoxious, and nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm trying to get to the nut of it. I'm trying to get to the nut of the problem, the core of the problem. And there's a lot of great, they call themselves conservatives or patriots, whatever, and they'll hack away at the outskirts. The problem's this, the problem's that, and they won't go to the heart of it, the heart of it as described in the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to the heart of it, baby. What's the worst they could do to me? Call me Beelzebul? They already have. America doesn't believe in Beelzebul in 2023. The Beelzebul that the world believes in is a 20th century politician. And this image has been created by the Jews. By the Jews. It's very simple. They don't believe in the devil. They worship the devil. They're the synagogue of Satan. But they act like they don't worship the devil. And they say the greatest sin in the world is to be a Nazi or a fascist or all this nonsense. You've created a new morality. And so people get accused of this and they cower. They run in fear. They run in terror. And Jesus Christ said, look, guys, stop running in terror. They called me Beelzebul. What do you think they're going to call you? Oh, they're going to call you a racist? What? Come on. Grow up. Grow a pair, man. Grow a pair. They call you a Nazi. They call you a fascist. That's the worst they can do to you? And you're afraid of these names? Jesus said, look, if they called me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call you? Of course they're going to call you these things. Of course the Jews are going to call you these things. The Jews and those who side with them, including the fraternity of Judas Iscariot, which is very large. It's a very large fraternity. It's full of Christians. It's full of pastors. Probably best call them Judeo-Christians these days. They've sided with the Jews. And they make 50 different excuses for it, just like Judas Iscariot did. I'm sure Judas had all. He probably went to the judgment day with his mind full of excuses, but just as soon as he got up there, like, he had nothing to say, man. He had nothing to say. Oh, God will forgive Judas. No, God will not forgive Judas Iscariot. Will not forgive him. Jesus Christ was very clear. It's better that that man had never even have been born. Judas Iscariot will not be forgiven. Judas Iscariot will not be forgiven. No Christian who sides with the Jews will be forgiven on the judgment day. You're a traitor to Jesus Christ. The thinking that has to change is very deep. It's very deep, and it's going to have to start in the heart of the church. Will that give us persecution? I don't know. I don't care. Well, apparently it is. I got a little persecution. They haven't sawn me in two yet. Y'all are worried about persecution. You're afraid of what the Jews say about you. They sawn you in two yet? Like they did in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. Some were sawn in two. You worried because they called you Beelzebul? They might. You don't want to be called a racist. You don't want to be called an anti-Semitic. You don't want. If we're going to turn this country around, we're going to need brave men and brave women, and there's a lot of them out there. And they're speaking up, and we need about 150 million more. One of the greatest ways that we could really hamstring our efforts is not to get to the root of the problem, and try to have this great unity. And I'm going to talk about more about this. I've got a series going on called Christian Nations, and we're all trying. We're still, you know, so many people still trying to build this global empire. We're all can get along, and we can't all get along. It's never been the case for humanity. It's never been God's purpose for us to get along. That alone, you're xenophobic, you're racist, Fritz. No, I don't care. Use that term. I don't care. Like I said, they called Christ Beelzebul. Why am I afraid of being called a racist or a xenophobe or queerphobic or anti-Semitic? Why has the church adopted the morality of an antichrist people? That's the question. Jesus Christ didn't care. He went up to the double minority with a special needs child. It was a Samaritan woman. Kid was full of demons. And she's begging him for help. God help, Jesus help me. Jesus said, I didn't come for you, you dog. That's what he said to her. And she says, you're right, I am a dog. I'm not anything special. You don't owe me anything. And you're right. You did come for your people. You came only for the house of Israel. But I'll take a scrap. Just give me a scrap, Jesus. That's all. Just give me a scrap. Like a dog begging under the table. She says, okay, here's a scrap. Healed her kid. Oh, Jesus is a racist. I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, said Jesus Christ. When the gospel goes to those who are not of the house of Israel, we're getting scraps. And do not conflate the Jews with the house of Israel. Do not do that. Big fat mistake. Historical mistake. Theological mistake. Historical mistake. These Ashkenazic Jews, these European Jews, they converted. Their ancestors converted over 1,000 years ago to the Talmud, to the Devil's Book. They got nothing to do with the Middle East, nothing to do with being descendants of Shem, let alone Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Nothing to do with it. They were a pagan people that converted to another pagan religion, the Khazars. So you can have a controlled opposition where they can do these things and say these things, yet they will bow down and kowtow and worship the very enemy that they ought to be fighting. And it's the only people that can stand up are the people of the book, the people with the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, of what Jesus Christ said. How do we resist this monster? We got to open our mouths. We got to open our mouths. We got to speak and demonstrate bravery to our fellow citizens. And all these ideas that they think are right and true and good, we have to refute, including the invasion. You don't. Jews thrive in multicultural empires. That's why they want a diminution of the white race in Europe, in the United States. They hate the white race. They hate why? Because it was the Christian race. Who wants this? It's the Jews want this. The Jews want the destruction of the white race. They say it in their literature because it's the white and the Christian race. I know this makes you uncomfortable. You're going to be called a racist and anti-Semite. Why do you flee those terms? When Jesus said, hey, if they call me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call you guys? Why do you flee these terms? We need to protect, and this goes for even people that aren't white, you need to protect the white race. How would you like to live in a place like Detroit or Chicago? Well, you have mass shootings literally every weekend. You're going to have to undo all these things that they've pumped into your brain. No nations, no borders. Nonsense. God loves nations. He loves borders. Distinct ethnic groups. And you got to be willing to get out of this nonsense where you think you can't be this or that because the Jews are going to criticize you. That's enough. I'm starting to ramble. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com.